Are you going to move out, Susie? Are you going to, yes, no? Are you going to stick around?
I think she's going to stay.
Where do you want, huh?
She's trying to make a decision.
I know it's a tough one. Hang with us, Lawrence. We'll get it.
Any background music?
No, this stuff she's got.
She got things I can leave.
I need some paperwork anyway.
You can leave.
You want me to go ahead with the introduction?
I'll leave you my folder.
Okay, yeah.
Just not like kicking me right out.
Council is preparing to conduct public hearings on 4 zoning applications. And before we begin that, I'd just like to go over the process, the rules and regulations that we follow. When each application is called, Lawrence Lank, who's the Director of Planning and Zoning, will make a report to council and tell council what happened when these applications went before the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Good night.
We know that all 4 of these applications were deferred by the commission. As a result, council will not act on them tonight. We will wait until we get the recommendation of the commission before action is taken. So any action on these 4 applications would be at a future regular meeting of council. After Mr. Lank introduces each application, we will then ask the person who has filed the application or whomever may be representing them to come forward and to tell council about the application, explain what they're asking for, and why they would like to have the approval they've requested. After the applicant does that and calls any persons that he or she wishes to call as a witness, after that's all finished, we would then call for anyone additional who might support or oppose the application, and persons on either side will be given an opportunity to speak. It's not a trial, so that the applicant doesn't get to cross-examine somebody who may be in opposition and vice versa. We hear from each side separately, and there's no rebuttal, so that after hearing the opposition, the applicant doesn't get to come back and do a rebuttal. We ask that if you have a cell phone or a paging device, turn it off or turn it to silent service.
Thank you.
If someone is speaking on a point that you agree with, we ask that you not show your agreement by applause or your disagreement by groans, because it'll help us get through the hearing quicker. Does anyone have any question about the procedure we'll follow? And thank you very much. Mr. Lank.
Thank you. The first public hearing this evening will be conditional use number 1715. It is the application of Good Earth Market, LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an office, professional space, cafe, restaurant, and meeting place to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9.2509 acres, more or less, lying south of Route 26, approximately 1,500 feet west of Route 17. The Planning and Zoning Commission, before I go any further, would like to thank those parties on behalf of the applications and with concerns. It was our one night of inclement weather that week where we had a little ice and a little snow, and we proceeded on. And everything went smoothly. The commission did defer action on all the cases, and it was announced up front that they were going to defer action so that the people, those parties present, wouldn't have to wait around. Right. So with that said, for the benefit of the council, I've just passed down copies of a site plan on behalf of Good Earth Market, LLC, and also a schematic of the area showing two photographs of Good Earth Market for their review. The Planning and Zoning Commission, again, had public hearing on this application on January 24th of 2008. We had received comments from DLDOT making reference that a traffic impact study was not recommended and the level of service E of Route 26, will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. David and Susan Ryan were present on behalf of Good Earth Market, LLC, and gave testimony. Mr. Ryan also submitted a letter in support from Julie and Joseph Schrock. Pictures of the health food store and organic farm and a rendering of their site plan and the proposed BB Medical Center location. representative of the BB Medical Center was present and gave testimony in support. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission did, as I stated, they did defer action with a vote of four, with four votes to defer action for further consideration and to allow the staff time to provide Mr. Robertson, Assistant County Attorney, with a copy of the ordinance that approved the original conditional use on this parcel. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have a question.
Is the applicant present tonight? If you would, please, before you begin your statement, could you identify yourselves and give us your address so we'll have that on the record?
Sure. David and Susan Ryan, 31806 Good Earth Lane in Clarksville, Delaware.
Thank you.
As Mr. Lang said, we have an existing health food store and an organic farm right there. And we've had a really tremendous response from the community. We have a lot of events and public support for what we're doing, and people are coming and asking us to do a little bit more there. So we proposed, I guess we started this a couple years ago, to have another building and have like a yoga studio and maybe like a naturopathic doctor or acupuncture type person and a little cafe where we would serve, you know, healthy kind of foods, things that we grew right there on the farm or that we got from local farmers. We do a lot of local agriculture, honey, soaps,
eggs,
jams, yeah, eggs,
blueberries, so
different things there. So that
we support a lot of local farmers right around us where they can bring their products to us and we have a retail outlet for it.
And as you can see, as it turns out, we're right next to where BB is proposing to put their new facility. We're going to talk a little bit about this, I guess, a little bit later. And we think that what we're proposing to do would fit right in with what BB's proposing. And I think as part of our application, excuse me, you asked us about a sign. We would need an illuminated sign, whatever the standard size sign is. And then we anticipate that probably 10 people would be employed in the course of our expansion.
Any questions of the Ryans, gentlemen?
Not this time? No? Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in favor of this application?
Do a site plan, right? Remember, in the parking area.
Would you come forward, please?
Big BB.
Good evening. I'm Donna Streletsky, and I'm the Vice President of Operations for BB Medical Center. And I would just like to go on record to say that BB Medical Center fully supports the proposed project for Good Earth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that we've recognized everybody who wanted to have input into the record. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
What's deferred, correct?
Did not vote, yes, right?
That's correct.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Make a motion to defer.
Yeah.
But did the commission leave the record open or closed?
Closed. The only thing they left the record open for was a copy of the original conditions for the original conditional use.
Right. Make a motion we close the hearing on CU 1715 until we get a recommendation from the commission and defer.
Second. It's been moved to second that we defer on 1715. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Thank you very much. Okay. We can't make a decision until planning and zoning, so thank you.
Next application.
Next application is conditional use number 1719, the application of Daniel D. Rupert Jr. to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for professional office space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 62 hundredths of an acre more or less, lying southwest of Route 24, 315 feet south of Road 289. For the benefit of the council, I've passed down copies of the survey site plan for this application. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on January 24th of 2008. We heard comments from the Department of Transportation, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Mr. Rupert was present and gave testimony. He proposes to utilize part of his dwelling structure for his general contractor type office, where he can prepare plans, meet with clients, and show materials. And his wife, who is also a bookkeeper, will be serving several small businesses, and they will reside in the dwelling. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. Again, to the inclement weather, the commission did defer action with 4 votes for further consideration and to verify if any deed restrictions do exist on this project. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
Were they able to determine whether there were any deed restrictions?
I believe that information was provided to Mr. Robertson, and I haven't spoken to him since the last meeting.
Is there any questions, gentlemen?
Come on down, whoever the applicant is, right? There we go.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm here on behalf of Dan and his wife, Laurie.
Could you give us your name and your address?
Sorry, Robert Hicken, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Mm-hmm. On behalf, again, they have inclement weather tonight in Pennsylvania, so they would ask if I would come and represent them. Like Mr. Lang said, Dan wants to do a small contracting business, and his wife, Laurie, wants to do bookkeeping for local businesses. They plan on residing at the location.
This is an existing dwelling?
Yes, it is.
Would they be adding on, or is it just using an existing space?
Just using the existing space.
Just add some parking spots, though.
Is there any construction proposed for this?
No,
they're just going to use the existing
structure? Use the existing structure, yes, sir.
Right.
And because they're going to have possibly employees, they couldn't do a home occupation?
Well, there's going to be 2 occupations. That may be the trigger.
Well, they did state that there's possibly it would have part-time employee as needed. So any kind of employment at all from outside requires.
Right.
Right now, there's no plan to bring in any outside employees.
Okay.
Since the gentleman was kind enough to come in on behalf of Mr. Rupert, who's in Pennsylvania, and different kind of weather today up there than what we've had down here, I'll just throw a couple things in for the record. I did state that he and his wife have separate businesses. They will be residing in the dwelling. His primary work is remodeling, building decks, laying carpet with some plumbing. She is a bookkeeper. There may be an occasional employee. The dwelling contains approximately 2,800 square foot, and they propose to utilize approximately 1,800 square foot for living space. There are no known deed restrictions. And basically, he says he would have 1 work vehicle.
Right.
Pretty much what was stated.
Right. According to the minutes, right. Any questions?
No. Let's see if there's anyone else here concerning this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anybody here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show, no one asked to be identified.
I make a motion we close the record on CU 1719 and defer, waiting for a decision by the commission.
Second.
It's been moved to second that we approve defer action on 1719. Mr. Cole?
Absent.
Absent. Can't tell the difference. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Some bitches are everywhere. They're clogging.
Thank you.
Next item, excuse me. Next item is conditional use number 1774, the application of Rubino C. Chase LLC. This is an application to consider an ordinance to delete and or modify the conditions imposed in ordinance number 1455 for conditional use number 1379, the application of Rubino C. Chase LLC to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on land lying at the northwest corner of the intersection of Road 275 and Road 274. I have passed out five copies of booklets that were submitted into the record. Yes, ma'am. I can just pass them out. Just make me have one for the record.
Have you completed your introduction, Mr. Lang?
No, I'm looking. I'm getting copies of the site plan.
Okay.
How are you?
Which I believe the applicant passed me out. If you need additional copies, I have available. Also, for the benefit of the council, I did receive some correspondence today, which I copied so I could pass down to all of you for review. I think I need to leave one. Those comments were from Richard Dessinger and Larissa. Sure, I'll tear her name up. I don't do names well. Your wife. So that is part of the record, and I did pass that down to council. I did receive a letter from, or fax of a letter from the Sussex Conservation District dated February 7th of 2008. It's addressed to Roger Gross of Mirrorstone Consultants, making reference to the estates at Sea Chase. And as a follow-up to our phone conversation last week, the district has signed off on the as-built surveys for the above reference project and has verified that the ponds as constructed comply with the approved plan. The only remaining issues are to oversee the stormwater facilities and correct areas of erosion. And that was provided with a phone number and contact of Jessica Watson, program manager. The commission was provided with the exhibit booklet I provided to you during the public hearing on January 24th. There were copies of the full-size recorded final site plan provided and copies of the recorded 14th amended condominium decoration plan provided. We received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We had provided letters of correspondence from Mr. Dessinger and his wife, along with copies of letters and attachments to the commission. And Mr. Dessinger was present and could address his concerns. We received a letter from Judith Pollock, a resident of the estates at Sea Chase, which is part of my report. Paul Rubina was present with Mark Dunkel, attorney, and Roger Gross, professional engineer from Mirrorstone Consultants, and all gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. Michael Gordon, a resident within the project, expressed concerns and gave statements of opposition. Elizabeth Misakonis, president of the condominium council, was present in opposition. Mr. Dessinger, again, I did state he was present. He also gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission, again, due to the weather, unanimously deferred action for further consideration and left the record open for Mr. Gross to provide verification that the Sussex Conservation District did approve the project as built. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Chef.
For the record, my name is Mark Dunkel. I'm an attorney with Barkowski, Gherkin, Swayze, 116 West Water Street in Dover. And also, we now have an office here in Georgetown. And I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Rubino Sea Chase LLC, who was the original developer and is the original developer of this community, as Mr. Lank has described. You have the booklet that we put together for the planning commissioners, and there's a slight update which I've handed out tonight. It's a revised as-built drawing, and then a photograph just to orient you with part of the community, the pool, and the next photograph shows the community area. And this application is a petition requesting an amendment to the conditional use approval that you as council granted on May the 8th of 2001. The part of the reason for this request for amendment is there's a conflict between the conditional use approval, the conditions of approval, and really two things. There's a conflict between those conditions and the final approved recorded plan. And that major conflict is there is no clubhouse, there is no community building required on the final recorded plan, and you'll see that in this booklet. The second conflict is there are features of the conditional use approval that do appear on the final recorded plan that the neighbors don't want, and that the condominium council representatives negotiated with the applicant, the developer, to please not do those improvements. And what I've tried to do, maybe to walk through this, with your permission, on the handout I just gave you with the red, this might work, or it's in the pullouts, but this is what's out there right now as far as the community area. You can see the swimming pool and the concrete area. Right in front of the swimming pool, we've tried to show in red, these are five parking spaces that have not been built. That's a landscaped area. They're required by the final site plan. The community does not want them built. They do not want them installed. The second feature on here, we've tried to show the community building, and let me sort of explain that. Condition 6 of your conditional use approval from May 8th of 2001 says a clubhouse and swimming pool shall be built after the 24th unit. Now, since it's a conditional use approval, those words, those requirements, went back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the review of a preliminary site plan. That's how it works. The preliminary site plan that was approved in July of 2001 doesn't have a clubhouse. The official approved preliminary site plan has a community building, 40 by 32. Community building. That's what was approved, the official preliminary site plan. It has a pool, it has the parking spaces, it has the requirement to combine the entrances, which I'll get to in just a second. A little bit either lost in translation or different, that official approved preliminary site plan does not match the conditional use approval. In August of 2002, the final conditional use site plan was approved by the county. It has the five parking spaces. It has the requirement to combine the entrances between these two developments. It doesn't have the community building. It doesn't have the clubhouse. It has nothing in that spot. We're here to request an amendment to cover these two issues. The developer doesn't want to build a community building or a clubhouse, I mean, quite frankly. The neighbors and the community doesn't want the developer to install the five parking spaces that are legally required by your approved plan, and doesn't want the developer to combine the entrances that are legally required by this conditional use and all of the approved plans. And what happens is there are two neighborhoods side by side, and the plan says close what's called Sea Chase and run all of that traffic through this community to the public road. And we haven't installed those because the neighbors don't want them, but they're legally required. That condition is legally required, so are the five parking spaces. And in our interpretation, building a community building or a clubhouse is not. Setting aside what's legally required, which is generally all I ever get to talk about, the developer or applicant, I think to his credit, didn't wait until a citation was issued by the county that said, we think you need to build a clubhouse, build it or else combine the entrances and build the five parking spaces. He submitted a request and asked for an amendment. But setting aside what's legally required, what the developer would like to do and ask, I understand you're going to defer decision anyway because P&Z has deferred their decision. We would ask that whatever you decide, if you would defer your decision, we would like an opportunity to meet with the condominium council to find out exactly what they want setting aside what's legally required, we know they don't want the five parking spaces. We already had that agreement and dialogue. We know they don't want the combined entrances. And DelDOT has since issued a letter that says that's okay with them. Based upon the comments from the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, we don't exactly know what their desire is about this. The clubhouse or the community building or nothing, depending on which plan or approval you look at. But it would be certainly a lot more efficient, we think. We had an opportunity to meet with them and try to reach a consensus than argue about whether the developer has to build any building or not. I mean, legally, we don't think we do. You all might think differently. We would like to have that time. We've started that dialogue with...
I'm curious, and why haven't you had it?
Well,
I mean, it's been going on, it seems like, a long time. Why haven't we had this conversation that you keep saying you're so willing to have?
I can answer that, Mr. Cole. At the P&Z hearing, Mr. Wheatley and others asked the residents, what do they want? Mm-hmm. Some said, we want the clubhouse built, a clubhouse. We want the entrances left open. We want the five parking spaces constructed. Some of them said, we don't want a clubhouse built there. It's not practical in that little space. There's propane tanks there. There's propane lines.
No, right.
As you know, the pool's three times bigger than it was planned. We don't want it, but we want money. But we don't want anything built there. So there's no consensus from the community on what they want. I've had conversations since the planning and zoning hearing with two members of the board, and we said we'd like to negotiate. And I said, could you present us with your official request? My understanding is the community had a meeting this past Sunday, and they were not able to reach a consensus on what their official request is. We would request... You obviously can do whatever that you see fit, but we would request an opportunity to try to go forward and have that conversation with them to find out what it is as a community they would like. Because as I said, it's a lot more efficient than arguing about whether there's an obligation to build this clubhouse or if it's a community building or not. We would rather do something. And if the representatives I talked to are here, I'm sure they'll fill you in on their end. But we have some suggestions that might be a lot more efficient. The purposes of, you know, being the applicant's lawyer and making a legal record, you know, we don't believe we're obligated to build any more structures out here. We do believe there's a conflict, quite frankly, between the conditional use approval and the final plan. And setting that aside, there are some features of the final plan that the people that live out there don't want anyway. So the conditional use approval really should be amended one way or the other. If the developer wanted to be legally compliant right now, I suppose he could go out and pave the five parking spaces and close the entrance, and he would say, and not build any structures. But that just doesn't seem to be the right thing to do. And so we'd like an opportunity to find out what would be the most efficient thing to do. And I think the rest of the documents that I've submitted speak for themselves, and I'll stop talking and
stand
for questions.
When did the Homeowners Association take over? What year?
I don't know the answer to that. I can ask Mr. Rubino if he wants to come up and testify. We have correspondence, and we have a handover from them.
That's Mr. Lane.
Lawrence, do you know?
What, when the Homeowner Association took over?
Yeah,
no.
I know that's probably not
our business.
When did it get, do you know, Mr. Rubino? Yeah, I'm sorry.
First of all, I'm Paul Rubino, 102 Rubino Court. Mr. Jones, the turnover, I believe, was either the end of 05 or into 06.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask Mr. Lank a question?
Marks?
Sure.
Mr. Dukes, what's the...
Can you shed some light on where it went downhill from, I'm looking at the condition number 6 was the applicant shall construct the clubhouse swimming pool by completion of the 24 residential units, but none of that showed up on the final site plan. Do you know, how did that happen?
The
I haven't found the original approval of the site plan. I have a copy. I'm looking for the right one here. I got two.
I guess I
pulled the original file.
The only one you're concerned about is the final, though, isn't it?
Right. And the only, I have a final that was dated. I'm looking for it now. I just had it in July. Here we are.
Okay.
In July of 2002,
it was
the way it's stamped, care of the Planning and Zoning Commission, 8901, and with agency approvals, which we received up to the 11th of July of 2002. And then a month, less than a month, or a month, 5 weeks later, there was a revision, which I signed using the same dates except for the date of my signature. And the only thing that drawing was supposed to show different was a revised pump station site to a 50 by 50, a repositioning of house number 29, and a relocated fire hydrant at house number 29. That was the only thing that was supposed to be changed. But it, that's why it's named.
But it left all note. It you didn't review
one before that didn't show it. The one before I didn't show the pool, and I don't know why.
But the final site plan did not show the clubhouse or the...
I mean, it showed the pool, and it showed the five parking spaces. It does not show the clubhouse.
When the...
I haven't found one that's got a stamp on it that shows me anything any different.
When the record plan was approved, Mr. Lank, and recorded, do you know whether the applicant developer was aware that it failed to include the community building?
The plan that was submitted to us by the applicant with this application was the site plan that I signed to show the three corrections.
But do you know...
There was another one before that, but it's not part of the attachment.
The final plan that omitted the community building, do you know whether the developer was aware of that omission at the time that it was submitted?
No, I can't say that they were aware. I don't know that. I would note that on the drawing with that original date, it showed, again, the pool, the five parking spaces, and what appears to be a sidewalk between the parking spaces and the pool area. And if you look at the rendering of the promo drawing, the swimming pool area is laid out totally different than what it was originally on the site plan. It's larger. It appears to be larger.
I got. Is this can I ask Lawrence one more question?
Lawrence,
I know we're supposed to have a public hearing. Lawrence, somebody, one of our inspectors should inspect that. Is that correct? I mean,
yeah,
somebody should.
There was a condition that certain things would take place within certain time frames, and
right. And the five parking spots is kind of like, you know, when they, whatever year they went and looked at it all, it's kind of went by, slipped by the wayside.
They're still looking at it all, but some have still never been resolved. There's questions about the entrances. That was a condition of the approval.
Right.
They were supposed to close the original entrance in Sea Chase and just use the entrance
right.
into the estates at Sea Chase.
I guess how do they get from point A to
ponds.
Point B with us?
Well, probably during our public hearing process, we were looking at a map, something like that, on the thing showing your whole subdivision. The subdivision plans at that time had probably the pools and all that stuff on it, right? So when we adopt a conditional use
right.
during a public hearing process that we go through, Jim, and it has all that stuff on it, and we put it as part of the conditions, that has some weight to it, right? Even though
it's part of the ordinance,
right? Even though then further down the line here, it seems that certain things got omitted. And staff or somebody, I just didn't pick it up.
Well, that's why the applicant is back here, because
right.
they either have to put in the community building and the parking spaces or get those deleted.
Okay, so there's no question about we're on firm ground to asking if they need to have a building of some sort, right?
If that's what you decide to do.
I mean, from because they've made an application asking to now pull it out. So obviously
it's part of the conditions. It's discretionary with council whether it approves the application before it.
But so everybody accepts that they're in the wrong at this point and they're trying to get it omitted.
We don't accept that, Mr. Cole.
Why did you make the application? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, we're here with an application, you've
right.
made this application.
Because so. we don't want to close the entrance or put the five parking spaces in either. We'll be in violation. I mean, the legal distinction is, you know, we think we've equitably relied upon the final recorded approved plan, which is different. We've equitably relied on the preliminary plan. The preliminary plan doesn't say clubhouse either. The preliminary plan says community building.
That's what I'm trying to find out. Where is the weight of the law on
and
all these
I'm
plans?
Not gonna, and just from our, I just, I, and I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, just as a legal position, we don't agree that we're obligated to build any buildings because of what's been finally approved. And this is, I'm going to tell you something. I think the Sussex County Planning Department is the most wonderful department to work with in Kent and Sussex County, and it's true because I'm in Kent and Sussex County, and I don't cast any blame on them. But we have a final plan. The gold standard is the recorded plan. I'll give you why I say this.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Did your client understand when that plan that omitted the community building got recorded that it did omit the community building?
I can't answer that. But
that may be helpful to have them try to establish.
What I wanted to show was, if you look at condition number 5, the conditions are, I put that in my booklet. I try to give you everything. Page, I don't know what page it is, number 5. Condition number 5 says, site plan of the development, including landscaping plans, shall be reviewed and approved by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Well, that we have that.
That's what I'm trying to.
We have
I'm
that.
Trying to determine between you, a couple attorneys here. If
my argument is, or my position is, we have number 5. Number 5 is irreconcilable.
But you don't have 6 and 7.
They're irreconcilable. I cannot reconcile 5 with 6. My final approved plan says no clubhouse. 6 says clubhouse. So it's something that we could argue about, right. And that's why I said in the beginning we would prefer to try to reach some kind of accommodation with the neighbors rather than argue about this.
What question?
Yes, sir.
Regardless of where we're at today, during the public hearing when your client made the presentation, was the residents or potential residents at that time, was the clubhouse mentioned during that process? Yes, it was.
Of course it was, yeah.
During the, well, actually, it was supposed to be 76 units. This community was turned down by planning and zoning. 76 right. Units came here, and it was scheduled for 76 units according to the caption of the ordinance. So whatever was shown and reviewed and approved was 45 units with the clubhouse, I'm sure, and a pool. But the code also says that those plans get sent back to planning and zoning, and they can be revised and amended. And then I believe the code says on conditional use, the Planning and Zoning Commission can make amendments to the site plans unless they are substantial. Significant change, I think, is the language to the conditional use approval. And if there's a significant change, there's supposed to be a public hearing. And that never happened. I'm not saying that this is a perfect process from our side. I really can't explain a lot of it, but, you know, number 5 conflicts with number 6.
Jim, does the don't we have that? What's that ordinance that refers to percentage of owners in a subdivision and they want to change something? Right. We had a debate over, you know, the percentages, everything. Where are we on that one?
That's generally a re-subdivision type of issue.
Like somebody wanted to change a lot or something.
That doesn't apply here, but the reason the applicant came here is that there are conditions in the ordinance that they would like to be relieved.
Well, here, my suggestion is then if we have that percentage we already use when people want to change things in a subdivision, I'm a little reluctant to talk to a couple, 2 or 3 owners that want to do something, then you've got all these other owners that maybe didn't show up or something. In other words, should there be some kind of referendum, some kind of vote taken, like we would do on one of those situations?
Well, we can't act on this tonight.
I'm just
anyway.
Saying to get a clear answer from what the direction of the community and let the majority
if
or whatever.
If the developer and his representative come to some agreement with the owners association, condo owners association, whatever the entity is, we could certainly ask for some indication that that represents a majority position.
We'd like that opportunity. Understanding, you're certainly not bound by it, but we'd like the opportunity to at least try to come in with a modification application that there is a consensus on. We know about not closing the, not combining the entrances. We know about not doing the 5 parking spaces. We'd like to give this missing building.
Very much so.
A shot.
Well, let me say, it is deferred right now, Jim. Could we just, at the end of this hearing, leave this, because we have to defer, just leave the record open? For a submittal of something from the homeowners association at a later date, and then we can close it.
Well, you're going to defer anyway. I don't see any harm in leaving the record open. If they do come to some agreement, then we could receive that.
Okay, all right. That's an option.
Can we go ahead and
we'll certainly give people who are here tonight an opportunity
to speak. But personally, myself, I'd like to see them meet with the homeowners and see if you could work out something, because I see there's enough blame here to go around. On everybody's part, and if you work out something with the homeowners, I think I would sure support that.
We'd like to give it a try. I mean,
blame on the homeowners.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think I said that one, but it's a pickle. We'd like to work on it. That's all I really
have. Does that conclude your presentation?
It does, Mr. Griffin.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in favor of the application of the applicant to be relieved of those two conditions? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to that request?
Come on down. Anybody?
Line right up. Come on down.
Yep. Don't be shy.
No, I'm sorry. I just got here. I'm a little disoriented.
Give us, before
I've been in a car for 4.5 hours.
Make your statement, we'd like your name.
You're the kind of testimony. We really appreciate that.
I'm Betty Misacronis. I'm the president of the Estates of C. Chase Condominium Association. And I guess what I want to point out is we had a meeting really quick on Sunday, because we got as many as we could together, being as most of them are weekenders. And there was a lot of correspondence that went back and forth. There is no cut and dry decision, but what one homeowner said made a lot of sense. And I think if he were to come up here and explain it to you, probably do better than me, because I'm out of breath, and I would like to get some stuff together. But we were, you know, no one has one answer for this. So it really is a dilemma. I mean, it's obviously some shortcomings on someone's part, and I don't know how it was back in 2002 with all the construction that was going on down here. But it's a lot slower now, so we're hoping that we can take this process through the correct steps. I don't think discussing it with the attorney is going to work, because we'd have to get all 45 homeowners together, because a sizable amount like this wouldn't just involve the 5 board members. At least that's how I see it, reading our condo docs, rules, and regulations. So, I mean, we're kind of hoping for some help from you gentlemen.
Aren't you elected to represent the homeowners, though? I mean,
yes, but in the docs itself, we can't spend more than $5,000 right. Without consulting them. So I'm not sure if it reverts to the same rule when negotiating for an amount over $5,000 also.
May I ask you a question? I'm sorry.
My question, would you, as the president of the Homeowners Association, be willing to meet with them and look at an alternative or look a way to work this thing out and then go back to all your people and see what you can work out and then come back to us?
I could, but if we couldn't, I mean, you've got 45 homeowners we're discussing here, so obviously we're not going to come up with 45 agreeing on one thing.
I guarantee the decision.
I do know that.
The decision we're going to make is not going to make all 45 happy.
Right, I understand.
They have a better chance to make them happy than we do.
Yeah. So you're suggesting that we go back as 45 homeowners and come up with some...
I'm asking if you'd be willing to.
I'm sure we would be willing to. I mean...
We must have a board, a homeowners
association. We do. Guy, unfortunately, our vice president is on the road also.
Okay, well, the board ought to maybe try to meet with you. Not every all 45, but the board could meet and hash
well,
it
we
out
have
to
meet.
Try to weigh it out as best you can.
One of the homeowners felt that because of the way the docs are written, that we have to meet with 65% of them. So out of 45, that's pretty good.
Ma'am, does your association have an attorney?
No, we don't. Well, we do, but we haven't gotten them involved to the point other than...
You might want to do that if there's going to be a meeting with the developer, so that you will have someone to ask questions.
That would be definitely, yeah. So, but... I think, like I said...
Two real options would be to grant their request
or to go back to what we felt was the original and try to adopt the original and try not to get in between with all the little, you know, somebody wants this, somebody wants that. But we can probably go back pretty easily with Mr. Lawrence Lank's help here and find out what we were shown on this during our public hearing process during the conditional use, which, you know, we voted and actually, I think, overrode a P&Z's recommendation of denial. We gave them approval based on a plan that day, and we could probably go back and find it and have that approved. And then they'd be stuck with that, or we can go that direction and just try to eliminate some stuff.
So that I understand this, the site plan that was approved by Planning and Zoning without a change of the ordinances is what you would go back to?
Well, there sounds to me like from the time we approved it and it left here, there were some things that were left out, and that could have been a mistake. It could have been maybe somebody maybe did it by design. Nobody will ever know. But
these site plans, is this development signed off on at all? Because I'm under the impression there's still a bond open on this development.
I don't know.
There is.
Is it signed off on? Is there some procedure where someone says this development's done to the standard that we asked it to be done, complying with all the conditions on the ordinances and site plan? Is there a step that does that?
Right now, there's not, because there's still issues that aren't
but
resolved.
But I mean, so it's still an unfinished development,
right,
as far as
closed.
Okay.
Right.
We have a policy, and we revise our policy that we do not release bonds until certain steps are taken. And Mr. Lank he typically goes and checks the development as a final step before to be sure that the conditions are met. And this was something we implemented. Plus, we added an additional inspector to help checking on the various conditions and whatnot that each developer is required. So we have taken steps.
Okay, so then at least we know that, because there's other issues. It's not just...
Well, the long and short of where we are tonight is that we can't act on it. It will be taken over to a later date. The developer has said that they would like to invite your association to meet with them. We're not telling you you have to do that. That's up to you. If it comes back to us and no agreement has been reached, then council will have to make a decision. But this was advertised for a public hearing tonight so that people could say what they wanted. If you can tell us what it is that you want or your association wants, we'd be glad to hear that. If there are other people here, we'd be glad to hear them. But we can't advise you.
Okay, well, we would have to be at least allowed enough time to get the homeowners involved so that I can get at least the majority of who wants what so that I can approach him.
Okay. Well, you may want to talk to the developer or their attorney.
Right.
Because I think they've said here in public session that they would like to meet with you all to determine whether it's possible to work something out.
Now, this discussion that we're having today is only in reference to the pool house, trees, landscaping.
The conditions.
It's to relieve
conditions.
Okay, and it's not in reference
not
to
about,
the retention
about,
ponds and all the other
it's
things.
It's not about trees. It's about, Mr. Lank, could you read the two conditions that this hearing's about? About a community building and one of them.
It's a community building, the connecting driveways, and the 5 parking spots, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, it's just those three issues.
There were.
So there's no misunderstanding on our part.
Now, if you have other issues you want to negotiate, that's up to you.
No, we don't want to negotiate. We want to make sure they get done correctly.
Got the hammer.
About the retention ponds and...
Mr. Lank's going to tell us.
Well, there originally were 7 conditions of approval by the council, and that goes back to...
I have them.
Okay, the ones that were being requested for reconsideration by the applicant to the council would be number 6, the applicant will construct the clubhouse and swimming pool by completion of 24 residential units. Number 7, the development will utilize... a combined entrance to Sea Chase 1 and Sea Chase 2, which is now referred to as the Estates at Sea Chase, for ingress and egress to County Road 274. Now, that was one of the conditions originally requested by DelDOT. They wanted the original entrance closed at Sea Chase 1 and the new entrance on Sea Chase 2, now called the Estates at Sea Chase, be the only entrance.
And the homeowners are agreeable with that. They agree completely with DelDOT.
DelDOT's already said that. We just need to release that from being a condition of approval.
Can't believe I'm asking.
So it's really number six?
Primarily that.
Six and the trees, the landscaping.
The trees are not part of our consideration.
Then you're telling me they should be put in because they're on the original site plan.
Wasn't part of the ordinance.
Tonight.
No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. I want to make sure I understand you correctly. I'm sorry, this is my first time. And if the trees aren't an issue and they're on the original, the preliminary site plan, and they're in here for landscaping, it mentions.
Inspectors have been out to check the trees.
We've found a couple locations where there were trees and they've been cut down.
Right.
We had photographs of those. A couple places where they were cut down. We don't know if they were cut down by the resident at that residence or they were cut down by somebody else.
Are you talking about four trees along the dividing line?
No, I just saw a picture of a unit with some two trees that were cut down.
I mean, other than vandalism.
No, I'm not saying it could have been a Leland cypress that got bagworms and died. It could have
been.
All we saw was the basic stump of the.
Our general overall of that is it's lacking in landscaping.
And then you made reference to stormwater management funds. The stormwater plan, I don't know if you were here when I read it. I read a letter from the Conservation District. They had approved the plan that was approved, the way it was constructed as far as stormwater was correct. Based on the plan that they approved, that was the primary one, would have been their plan.
Okay, so the primary plan that was submitted is the one
stormwater.
That was
a relating to stormwater, because one pond showed, I think, 13 different ponds. They were all small.
Okay, so that's not necessary, according to the DENREC, is it?
If the Sussex Conservation District found it not deemed necessary, they wouldn't require them to all be put in.
So they've signed off on those, and they're okay with them?
I think they want to see some. Let me get the wording right.
I think it's erosion control and something like that.
There is erosion in the Warrington Old Landing corner there.
Their comment was, that I read earlier into the record, was that the district has signed off on the as-built surveys of the reference project and has verified that the ponds are as constructed comply with the approved plan. The only remaining issue is to oversee the stormwater facilities and correct some areas of erosion. And that's as of February 7th this year.
Okay.
The majority of that part's been corrected.
So they're just going to come and take care of where the erosion is to make sure that gets corrected?
The developer have to make that, and they have to approve it.
Okay.
The soil conservation has to, is that correct, Lawrence? We'll have to manage that.
They have to release it for the final, yeah.
Have they violated them for that, or no?
No, they just say that's what needs to be corrected. It wasn't a violation, it's just an update.
Okay, I'll let you hear from the rest of the homeowners. Because, like I said,
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else here? Gentleman in the back.
Hi, my name is Rich Owens, 10 Mediterranean Drive. The question I have for myself, and I understand where the board is going, and believe me, we've worked a lot trying to work together as an association group and everything, but a lot of the homeowners have a legal issue with, they don't know, is this an actual association's issue or is this a buyer's issue? I was promised a pool when I bought the house. If I bought something from you and I only got half of it, that's fraud. So we have this in our minds, we're like, we don't know if this is really an association issue and it's a common grounds or it's from the original purchase. I was purchased so much for a certain price and I didn't get it. I'm saying there's 45 people. But each person
I'll
bought a piece
to answer
of property.
That for you. You're posing a preliminary question. It might be helpful to sort of try to work out. You're asking whether promises made to individuals at the time they purchased is something that the council can enforce and consider.
Not really. Just like I'm confused where to resolve this is really an association issue or it's an individual person to hire a lawyer and resolve it. I just don't know.
Well,
we have a lot of people that don't know which line to cross on that.
Well, the developer's representative has said, since we can't act on it anyway, they would like to have an opportunity to meet with your association and attempt to work it out. That doesn't, we're not telling you that's you're required to do that. If you choose to do that and you're able to successfully conclude negotiations, that information would be helpful for us to have before council makes a decision. If that information is impossible to get because you couldn't make a decision, then council will have to decide whether to relieve these two conditions that the developer is asking to be relieved of, the one relating to the community building and the other one relating to the entrances, and I think the five parking spaces.
And you still may have a legal question still on
well,
something.
I do.
That may be another
issue. I think you answered it by saying we need to get with the lawyer because association is going to go by majority rule.
Right.
So you could have 15 people that don't agree with the majority rule and still feel they had fraud perpetrated against
them. Or they could go to their own lawyers.
And want to take legal action.
Right.
So therefore, now we have board members that are trying to understand both sides of this, and that's where this confusion is coming for everybody, is because we want to resolve it. We're not going to please everybody, but we don't want to make this a total legal battle, but there are people that feel...
That's why I suggested something. That it might be helpful for the association to involve their own attorney.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
If you do have this negotiating session.
Okay.
But if there's something you want to tell us about whether what you want council to do in the end result, if we have to do something, tonight would be the time to tell us.
Mr. Dressinger is going to present a lot of information for
thank you.
You want to stay here, Rich?
Yeah, I'm just going to put this back.
Don't leave him.
Give your name.
My name is Richard J. Deisinger, number 11 Adriatic Drive. The estate to see this. Pardon me?
You supply us each one with a packet here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to state that I think I'm the original complainer of this situation. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an engineer. And perhaps I didn't file correctly. And I submitted more material. But I would like to speak on the original site plan. And as you know, you have a packet, quite a bit of information, and I'm sure I can't go into all the information. You'll have time to review all this in your chambers. I have sales information, which is in front of you, which the one is, Rich, he took it down. If you would put that back up, please, Rich. This is the original site plan that I've received when we were in the process of looking at the property to buy. And it matches identically with the site plan dated 2001, which was approved by Sussex County Council. So basically, my complaint is I want what is on the original site plan. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Even though you're talking about two items, 6 and 7, there's the landscaping... number 5, I believe it is, but I want everything that I bought into as a homeowner. If you would like to put up that other site plan. The site plan dated 2001 is identical to the sale site plan. This is what Sussex County has approved. Am I right?
You're looking good, I think.
Okay. That's what I'm asking for. Now, the site plan dated 2002 is a year later. And if you look at the site plan dated 2002, I use the word everything's been eliminated. All the trees, 8 stormwater retention ponds, the clubhouse. Well, the 5 parking spaces are there, but nothing. They were not built. The 2 stormwater retention ponds that shows on the site plan 2002 at the beginning of the entranceway was never built. My concern is how many gallons of water does all those stormwater retention ponds hold? I bought flood insurance because I'm very worried about that. That pond behind my house... Number 20, Rich, would you put up the original, please? I'll give you, it's lot number 20 and 19. That pond behind 20 and 19, we had 5 inches of rain and it was at the top. My concern, if we had 3 days of rain, 5 to 8 inches of rain, we're going to have flooding. And we've witnessed that pond be filled at the top. And it's hard to get the water to move around to these other ponds. So we have flood insurance on our property. It's 10.9 acres. It's all flat land. The ponds, I believe, are supposed to dissipate 24 to 48 hours. But if we had 3 days of rain, 5 to 8 inches of rain, I'm concerned that we're going to have flooding. And that question is in the literature that I provided. My question, again, is to all council members is to ask the engineering department or the Rubino company, what is the gallons that was designed for all of those ponds? And now that we're missing 8 of those stormwater retention ponds, where is the water going to go from the 8 missing stormwater ponds, stormwater retention ponds? Where is that water going to go? If you look very closely at the 2002 site plan, it's hard to see. You have to, Rich, you have to have them try to have them side by side. It's the sales site plan, Rich. I'm sorry, Rich. The sales site plan along with the 2002 site plan. What I'm trying to show here is
the blue
area. That on 274 route and 275 route, that's a long stormwater retention pond. Well, it ends at building 10. It was made shorter. The entrance stormwater retention ponds have been deleted, as the other 8 that you could identify when you look closely at the plan. So I'm repeating myself. Gentlemen, I'm concerned. I would like to know the total gallons of water they're supposed to hold, and are the stormwater retention ponds that are there now are adequate to handle the lost ponds' water?
Well, stormwater management is approved by the Conservation District, and I'm sure they had to get that done, didn't it, Mr. Lang, before?
Yes, sir. They did.
And they got signed off on it.
Yeah.
They had to approve when they had been signed off.
That's state agency, and they signed off on it.
Yeah, the county just bring the valid permit that they've signed off on. We don't really challenge it because we don't have the staff to do that.
I understand that, but I'm getting back to the original. Is the sale site plan that you see in front of you is identical to the site plan dated 2001 approved by Sussex County Council.
Okay. Down there is the house next to the pool, small.
Everything is there. You have the clubhouse, 5 parking spaces, and all the trees.
Sorry, I see it.
With all the trees. And maybe I neglected to spell out all those trees, but I was trying to spell out, I want everything that's on the original site plan approved by Sussex County Council.
You don't have yards here, correct? You have just a condominium arrangement on the land.
Common ground.
So the grounds are all maintained for you, so you're buying into this look, or basically.
Well, this look, the look is very important. It's a privacy issue.
Right. Okay.
As been stated by the attorney for the Rubino Sea Chase LLC, it's a close-knit community. And this is why the trees were there. It's a visual privacy that we're not looking in there. My home is very, very close to my neighbor's home. I can look in their kitchen and so on and so forth throughout the whole community. And this is, I believe, this is the original design to create that privacy, this visual privacy.
But the answer to your question is correct. We only, each homeowner, each house, I think it's only 2 or 3 feet directly from the base wall out. Everything after that is common.
All right. And speaking, I like to speak on, pertaining to the clubhouse. Rich, could you? There's a picture there of a clubhouse from another community built by Rubino Builders.
I was going to ask you, that's what, another clubhouse?
Yeah, and our clubhouse was supposed to be 40 by 32 feet, 1,280 square feet.
Right.
The sales literature spells out clubhouse. It spells out sprinkling systems. It spells out high-efficiency gas when you read that literature. It's all there in the sales literature. This clubhouse measures 20 feet across where the door is and the two windows. As you go in, there's a little kitchen area and a little, I'll call it a conference room, a few people can meet. I wasn't inside. The long span is 25 feet long, and in the rear you'll see a roll-up door where we can store our pool furniture and other items. To the right of that, you're going to see two bathrooms. That's 20 by 25 feet. The area to the right of the pool house was spoken, pertained to that there's 3,500 square feet in that area. And yes, there are some gas lines there. But a nice clubhouse could be placed there, is my opinion. And the five parking spaces.
What is this building now?
That building is in, what community is that, Paul?
Woods of Seaside. Okay. Because I said I went to your where you guys live, and I didn't see anything except for a little white building to the left there.
That's a little...
pump house for the pool.
Okay. There's other pictures there also pertaining to another clubhouse in the Keys of Marsh Harbor. Very beautiful looking building, clubhouse. That measures 20 feet by 25 also.
So basically you want what was presented to you?
Absolutely. Okay. I want what we paid for. This was my investment. I retired here to come here to Sussex County to enjoy everything here. We've enjoyed the community. We could afford to buy into this community. We bought three brand new homes off of Mr. Rubino, and two homes in Stonewood Chase. Then we had the opportunity to buy into this property. It's a single property. Our house is a little bit unique. There's complaints from the neighbors. We have the biggest house in the community. It's a five-bedroom Mediterranean with two master bedrooms on the second floor and a sitting room and two bedrooms in the front of the house and a master bedroom. It's a very usable home for our whole family to come down to enjoy. And we would certainly love to have a bathroom and a clubhouse to go and to enjoy with the family. We would love to have all the trees in the community, so we would have a privacy issue, a visual privacy issue. And my greatest concern is the stormwater retention ponds, which we have to further investigate. But I would still encourage to have an answer pertaining to that question. How many gallons of water?
Have you been out to the soil conservation office and talked to
you? I have not. No, sir. This was...
Okay.
I'm on the board of two other communities, and I'm a very busy man for being retired.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's all I have to say, gentlemen. Please review the packets. One other, I would like to say something else. I'm asking all of you to approve our community the way it is. And if that
way it was sold to you.
The way it was sold to us.
That'd be the condition.
And if you would approve that, I would hope that you would put time limits and fines on the builder. For the simple reason, if the builder would come in to build a clubhouse, I don't want him to come in and start something and then not come back for 2 or 3 months. So if anything would be approved, I would like to have time limits, reasonable time limits. If he has to put in the five parking spaces, whatever you feel the time limit should be, and $1,000 a day fine if it doesn't get completed.
I think there is time limits. It's just beyond that now because it says that the pool house should be constructed after 24 residences. That, I think, is what it says, isn't it, on the conditions, if I'm not mistaken? So, I mean, it's there.
Well, I'm just stating that I wouldn't want to see anything being done, and then it's going to be delayed for weeks and months, and all of us homeowners have to be inconvenienced and...
Okay.
All that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I would just like to go on record to say that I would like the pool house, too. I forgot to say that earlier.
Anyone else? Anyone here who has not spoken yet? Yes, sir.
I'm nervous holding everything up.
Bigger than what it was originally intended.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Robert Delanos, and I live at 9 Adriatic Drive in the Estates of Sea Chase. And I wanted to come here tonight to take an opportunity to speak with each of you, all of you, and just share some thoughts and comments and perhaps my own personal opinion.
and as well represent some of my friends and neighbors who are seated behind me. I attended the January 24th meeting that was held in this room with the Zoning and Planning Committee. And I've never attended a meeting like that before, so it was a new experience for me. When I came in here as a private citizen to see what the future of my community would be, where the future of my community would be headed, and to see what steps would have to be taken, I was a bit overwhelmed, and I was a bit intimidated. And I'll tell you why. Because as you were seated there, so were the gentlemen on the Planning and Zoning Committee. And the developer spoke, and then a legal representative spoke, and he was assisted by a technical engineering representative. And there was a dialogue, information, sort of a question and answer. But to my ear, it seemed quite rehearsed and quite purposeful. And to my ear, that purpose was to justify what has not taken place. And at the end of the meeting, I wanted very much to speak, and I didn't. But the committee responded. And the gentleman who was sitting where Mr. Phillips, I believe, or this gentleman is seated now, said that he was very, very distressed. That's not a word I'm manufacturing. That's his quote. To hear that there was a discrepancy between what was approved and what has come to be. And I felt that that comment sort of represented how I was feeling. But I did promise myself that I would come back here tonight and be a little braver. His sentiment was seconded by the gentleman beside him. And then there was some comment in this area of the panel. But it all went to the fact that that committee was very, very upset and concerned and distressed to know that their approval, their plans had not come to fruition. As a private person, I trust a county to approve plans because those plans drive what is advertised to honest people like myself and my neighbors. Those plans translated into brochures, they translated into photographs, they translated into promises of what the estates of Sea Chase was supposed to be. I feel, my neighbors and I also feel, there is a moral dilemma here. Because we trusted what you approved. You trusted what you approved. I feel that there is an ethical dilemma because we purchased what we believed was approved. And then I came here and I heard rhetoric and dialogue about systems like sprinklers and gas lines that were already installed and therefore would need to be disrupted in case improvements were to be made to bring this to the original plan. And I understand that, and I don't want my home and my community to be disrupted. But on the other hand, something has to be done here. Something is out of control. There is a moral dilemma and an ethical dilemma, and that extends into economic impact for all of us. This is my retirement home. I was forced to retire a bit early in my career. I have a PhD in counseling, and I've worked with little children all my life. So I'm not a technical person, and I'm not a legal person. I'm just a private citizen who brought his money here and purchased a home. And now I'm concerned, as some of my neighbors are, because it doesn't take an expert to know that everything in this day and age, when you talk about real estate, everything goes to value. If my community gets a bad reputation because they hear that we are in dispute, that goes to value. So I don't really want that to happen, but I don't want my rights and privileges to be overlooked either. Some of us, we're a diverse group of people. Some of us are old, some of us are young, some of us are retired, some of us are able, some of us are a little on the disabled side. But what we have in common is that we are all very passionate about this because this is our home. I recall that they were began selling in the $200 range, and they went to the $300 range, and I know that they approached, and perhaps some people paid over $400. But it's a lot of money to each of us. It's a lot of money to each of us. And here we are now being told that somehow there is a conflict. I heard that word. There's a conflict. There shouldn't be a conflict. When something's approved, it's approved, I thought, because that translated into what was advertised. If there's a conflict, I would suggest that it's false advertising because, as my neighbor pointed out, who's very passionate about his concerns, he trusted on a moral level and he feels disappointed, and I can appreciate that. Now, not all of us are in agreement yet because we're just 45 homeowners. You know, we don't have a system of... Yes, we have our rules and regulations and our documents, but we don't have a system where we have our attorney at hand and we have all of this readily available to us. So we need time, and I'm sure that if we put our minds to it, we can probably come to some compromise that we all can live with, to some agreeable resolution that we all can live with. But that does not excuse what has happened. I am very willing to work with my board and with my neighbors and to make concessions and to maybe make some sacrifices and to maybe swallow the fact that, you know, I'm not going to get everything that I thought I bought. I don't think I should, but I'm willing to do that because I'm a reasonable person. However, I don't believe that this should just be excused. I don't believe that's fair to any one of us. We are 45 homeowners. We came here on good faith. We trusted. And it's a question, finally, and I won't bore you anymore, but it's a question of responsibility. When I was a child, I did childish things, and I was excused because I was a child. But then we all crossed that line of demarcation where we become adults and where we have to be responsible for our decisions and for our actions.
Let me ask you a question. President of the Homeowners Association spoke at the beginning.
Yes.
And she didn't seem quite as passionate as you and the previous gentleman. Does she represent a portion of the community that is not as concerned as you are?
It's very difficult to answer that. I would believe that we are all equally concerned.
So you know, is there a chance that you could have a Homeowners Association meeting in the next 25 days and come to a decision?
I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. Out of the 45 homes, only about 10 or 12 or maybe, I don't know, 14 maybe, are full-time like myself.
And that's just one option. I mean, the record's open. We're deferring on it. So, I mean, that's the best we can do at this point.
All right.
And
But you know what?
I'd like
to conclude by saying that, you know, our responsibility, we entered into a contract and we paid for our homes.
Right.
And I think we all know who has not lived up to his responsibility. And I am looking at you and to you for your position so that I can gauge one for me and I can help gauge my neighbors gauge a community consensus and a community response. But it is a question of responsibility, and I would urge you, and I urge you to very carefully consider that in your deliberations too.
Sir, I'm so glad to hear you said that you're willing to meet with the board and talk with them. It does show that you're willing to sacrifice, but you said that. And there was a reason that I asked the Homeowners Association to meet with the developer, because I think you understand, somewhere between when this was approved by the council mm-hmm. and the 7 stipulations that we put on it and the approval of the final site plan,
mm-hmm.
there was a breakdown.
Yes.
I don't know where it happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know at this point. This is the first time we've heard this. You heard it through planning, zoning, and then again here tonight. What I think will probably happen, and if you don't work out something, it's going to turn out to be a legal decision, what we can actually enforce. And I would much rather see the homeowners try to work out something that's feasible and workable to all of you. And I believe that Mr. Rubino was willing to work with you. You know, I don't know how what we approved didn't get on the final site plan and didn't get approved. I'm not laying blame on anybody, but you know, like I say, if it comes down to that, it might be what can we actually enforce? And I don't want I don't want to see that, because I don't think you probably all would be happy with our decision.
But in the end, it's not the fault of the homeowners either.
Oh, no. Not indeed. No, indeed. Not at all. No.
And
I hope you didn't think I meant that.
No. No, I didn't. I didn't. But it's just that, again, this goes back to, it may not be our fault, sir.
It's not your fault.
But we have purchased.
Right.
And we did that in good faith.
Yeah.
And I want you to remember that.
I truly believe that, and I appreciate your cooperation.
And hopefully problems and dilemmas and conflicts like this won't happen again.
I hope not.
I hope not. Thank you very much for your time.
Come on down, man.
Look at that. It's live TV coverage.
I can't afford it.
Hi, my name is Judy Pollack, and I live at 6 Adriatic Drive, and I agree with what he said. I'd also like the idea that there could be a meeting with the lawyer, because there are a lot of homeowners that don't live here full time, and particularly in the winter, they don't show up. Some people even live in Ohio, and with the weather and having these meetings during the week, it's pretty impossible for some of them to come and speak their mind. And we do have quite a range of opinions. And if we could have a meeting sometime, yeah, I know. I appreciate, you know, I'm sure, you know, I appreciate your listening to us, but I think it would be good if we had an opportunity to contact the other homeowners and tell them there will be a meeting on a certain date sometime in the not too distant future, but a reasonable time, and probably on a weekend when people could somehow get here or whatever, you know, they think is best, so that we could have the majority of homeowners, because when we do have meetings in the winter, we rarely get a quorum of homeowners to attend the meetings. And the meeting we had this weekend was important, but unfortunately, it was called quickly, and people could not get to their, in many cases, second home on a Saturday, or excuse me, a Sunday. So if we could agree, I would be in favor as a homeowner of having a meeting in the reasonably near future, that people had plenty of notification through email, mail, and website. That would be, I think, the best position right now, and that the results could get back to the Planning and Zoning Board and then to you folks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Let the record show that we have recognized everyone. What's your pleasure, gentlemen? If you're going, since we have to defer, we may want to leave the record open so we can receive.
I would certainly think comments from the Homeowners Association, and just as everybody is, the president urged them to certainly do something and meet and try to get something together.
Just leave the record open because yep. You got the attorney and everybody involved.
Okay.
I make a motion we defer on CU 1774, leaving the record open.
Second. So we move to second that we defer action and leave the record open on 1774. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Be careful going home.
Next application, Mr. Lank.
Yes, sir. Just one.
Mark Duncan.
Okay.